And this is also my favorite week of the year, the week before Thanksgiving, like, which is strange, I know, but it is. It always has been kind of my favorite time of the year. And I don't really know why. I know that I love to cook and get to spend time and hang out with my family and play board games a lot. And my wife always gets sick on Thanksgiving. Like, I don't know, like, she's mad at me already. But a time to just be thankful, you know, to sit back and realize all of the ways that we've been blessed and to say, thank you, God, for what you've done for me. And I think that's so important for us. I this is my 10th Thanksgiving here. Like, yeah, that's amazing, just short of 11, really, because I started like 2 weeks from today, 10 years ago. So this is my 10th Thanksgiving here, and it has been a lot of fun. This is what my family looked like 10 years ago when we came here. I know, look at them. It is unbelievable, and I'm thankful for them. I said, Jayla, the oldest one now, she's 21 years old and married, and married to a preacher even. I told you like how bad that was, but she is now kind of struggling in church world and trying to say, how do we make this grow? How do we do this? And she has a better understanding for my life now, I think, and it's a lot of fun. Caitlin, my middle one, she is 17, I believe, and she is a senior in high school. She's going to be graduating in May, and then her plan is to go off to Ozark Christian College and to get a degree in children's ministry and to serve and work in the church. Then Aiden, he's not so little anymore, but he was about 6 in that picture and about 30 pounds. Like, it was great. You could just pick him up and throw him anywhere you wanted. But he will be 16 in just a couple of weeks. He'll be getting his driver's license, and kind of his plan for the future right now is to go to a Christian college out in Arizona, which I don't know where he came up with that idea, but I'm going to support that and push that and wherever God's going to lead him to do that. But I am thankful for these people. Jennifer, she's been married to me now for 24 years, I think. It'll be 24 years in February, so close enough. Feels like 100 to her, I'm sure. And I love them, and I'm thankful for them. But one of the reasons that I'm thankful for them is because the way that they allow me to do what God has called me to do and to serve and to love you as a church. So I'm thankful for you guys. Like, I love you. Over the last 10 years that I've been here, I've tried very hard to make that very evident. For many of you, we have sat and counseled through some pretty difficult times of your life. Marriage problems or financial problems or work problems. And I've been able to sit across from you and give you godly wisdom from the scriptures. For some of you, I've shared the hardest times of your life when you've lost a spouse or a parent or a child. And I've got to sit with you, and nobody has words in those moments, but I've got to sit with you and to love on you for that and build great relationship. For some of you, I've got to be with you in the hospital when you've been sick or battling cancer or injured. Like, I've poured out my life and have done that for you because I love you. For some of you, I've got to share in some of the greatest days of your life, whether that be your wedding, and I got to stand and perform that and watch you as a newly married couple go out. I've got to, for some of you, be at the hospital when you've given birth and had babies. And I've been able to do that, honestly, because my wife understands that my calling in life is not just a job of ministry. That ministry is not just a job to me, that it is what God has called me to do with all of my life. And so for her, she sacrificed so many things. She sacrificed me having to cut vacations short to fly home and to do a funeral. She sacrificed me having to get up from dinner tables and around holidays, whether it's Thanksgiving or Christmas. She sacrificed me having to get up and leave and go so that I could be with my church family. Me waking up at 2 a.m. in the morning because I got a phone call saying, hey, you need to be at the hospital now, and going. My kids, they have sacrificed over the last 10 years an incredible amount. When they played sports, I would miss a ball game at the drop of a hat to come spend time with you and your family because I love you. I've missed so many things in their lives, and I'm thankful for them because you know what? They've grown to love the church and not to hate it. Like, they don't hold it against you. Like, they love when so many preachers' kids, you know what? They do. But I'm thankful because they've understood, my family has understood, that this is not a job, that it is who God has called me to be, to minister and to love on a congregation here. And I've been able to do that for 10 years, and for that I'm thankful. You know what? I don't regret one of those times that I've had to get up from the dinner table and go. I don't regret it one bit because I love you. You guys, as my family, like I have honestly, I've been on call for the last 10 years, 168 hours in a week, and you guys as my church family, I'm available to you, honestly, 166 of them. You know, there's two that I tell people, 2 hours that I'm not available for you guys, honestly, and that's the 2 hours that we have service on Sunday morning. We're going to make that for people that aren't here yet, and I love that. And I'm thankful that we have a place that we can do that. Because over 10 years, I've poured out, and listen, and I'm looking forward to the next 10 years pouring out my life. This is not like I'm going away sermon. I know it kind of feels like that. Like, this is not. And some of you are thinking, darn, I was hoping. But I'm not. I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to the next 10 years of being able to pour my life out and give my time to you. Because that's what God's called me to be and what God's called me to do with my life. And I love, well, thank you. Thank you. So I'm thankful this morning, and I'm thankful for the church. And I love the way Paul talks about the church. And this is what he says is in Ephesians chapter 2. He says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers. You're part of the church now. But he says, but you are fellow citizens with God's people, also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. So you were once lost. I was once lost. We were foreigners. We were aliens. We were strangers. But we're not anymore. That we are part of God's family now. It says, in him the whole building, all of us, is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. When we, the church, are together in purpose and in heart and in mind, like God is building us up to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too, this is part, you're being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And then in chapter 3 of Ephesians, he writes this, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. And I love the way Paul talks about himself. So I became a servant. And I think that's my call in life, is that I became a servant. A servant of the gospel. You know why? Because saved people serve people. We talk about it all the time. And I love being a servant. We think of servant as something that's bad or negative. But Paul here is saying, hey, I became a servant of this gospel, and that was a gift to me. God gifted that to me through the working of his Spirit. And he says, although I am less than the least of all of the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ. And that's how I feel. Like, people have said many times that I've never met a minister like you. You're right. Because I am probably the least of all of the preachers out there in the world. Like, I'm going to talk a little bit about my history in a minute, But I'm a wreck just like everybody else. And he says, but God has given me that grace to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this ministry, which for the ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now through the church, through what? Through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. What purpose did he accomplish in Christ Jesus our Lord? Salvation for us. He came to seek and to save the lost of the world so that we might have hope. And he says, now through the church, what I want you to do is make known to the rulers, to the authorities, and that's just a way of saying, hey, to everybody, this purpose that God had accomplished through Christ Jesus to bring people who are far from God close to God. It says, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my suffering for you, which are for your glory. And I'm thankful for the church. And I just want to share the rest of the time this morning just five quick reasons why I'm thankful for the church. And the first one is this, because the church, through Jesus Christ, is the hope of the world. The church, through Jesus Christ, is the hope of the world. In 1987, Miami Town Church of Christ was when I accepted Jesus into my life and was baptized. I was about 11 years old. And the preacher was a guy named Tim Wallingford. Jennifer accepted Christ in that same church. I don't remember what year she did. Jayla, she accepted Christ and was baptized at the Kentontown Christian Church in Robertson County, Kentucky. Hello, Kentucky people that'll be listening later. Caitlin and Aiden, they both right here in Kinmundy, accepted Christ and were baptized. The church, listen, through Jesus Christ, is the hope of the world. Not just our church, but the Big C church that Jesus created on the day of Pentecost is the hope of the world. And that through that story, through me coming to accept Christ, put me into a place where God said, you know what? I want to make you a servant to the world. I want to give you this ability, this gift to serve. And I'm going to put the wife and I'm going to put great kids in your life who allow you to do what God has called you to do. The church is the hope of the world. And that's my story. Without the church, I would have never came to know Christ. I would have never came to understand who he is and the sacrifice that he made for me. That's my story. Some of your stories are, everyone here has a story. Some of them are just in the future. They haven't happened yet, but they will. But listen, education is not the hope of the world. Politics is not the hope of the world. Medicine is not the hope of the world. The local church through Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. He is the hope of the world. So the second thing, the church has always demonstrated beautiful generosity. You know, that project, the Safe House, the Face of Justice in Costa Rica, is completely funded just from the generosity of believers. Not just here, but really believers all over the world. The local church, listen, is the only organization I know that will provide all that it offers for free for anyone for as long as they want it. Like, you don't have to pay to receive what the church has to offer. And that's amazing, because the church is the body of Christ, the people. And they freely give so that others may receive the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, I serve alongside some amazing, generous, selfless Christians here at KCC. Whether it's our staff or our elders of this church, they give so much of themselves so that we can reach the lost, care for the least, and raise up leaders for the next generation. It's always been beautifully generous. And the church, the third thing is a moral compass. Now, there's a bit of a difference now in the world from when I was a kid 30 years ago. And some of you who are even older than me, you can say, man, there's a big difference from 40 years ago or 50 years ago or 60 years ago. Like, what is right and what is wrong is not as clear as it was even 30 years ago. Like, I'm thankful that we have the scriptures to point the way for us, to make clear what is right and to help keep us on track. Like, I'm thankful for all of the hardworking preachers, teachers, volunteers who are diligent to teach the word of God as it stands and to speak the truth in love. Fourth thing is the church impacts youth or the next generation. Like, in my mind, the more kids, the better. Like the last week, there were over 40 kids in the KCC kids area during Sunday morning. Friday night, you know, yeah, so if you want to volunteer and get eaten alive, go on down there. It'd be great. No, I'm kidding. It's a great way for you to serve and to be able to pour your heart out. Like 40 kids coming. Like, go volunteer and help. But Friday night, Unite, we had about 50 there. So this is last week. Sunday night, Ignite Youth Group, we had 30. For Impact Wednesday afternoon, we had 19. Like the more kids, the better. Healthy churches, listen, they love kids of all ages. And kids help make churches healthy. Like I'm so thankful for the way this church has impacted my kids. Again, I told you I have one married to a preacher, one getting ready to go to Bible college to be a children's minister, one planning on going in the future. Had one up here this morning give an amazing communion meditation, like impacting the youth. And I'm thankful, again, for the addition of Zach to the staff in the last couple of months. And his heart is not only to lead these young people, but it's to work alongside of you as parents and to help you to understand how to raise godly kids. The church impacts the youth. And I can tell you, I wouldn't be standing here today if there wasn't a church that poured and invested into me the way that they did. And the fifth thing is this. The church reminds us of what really matters. Tuesday, I got to attend the funeral for Kimberly Hopper, 44-year-old mother of three who was killed in a car accident Monday afternoon of the snowstorm that we had. No one was expecting that to happen. It was tragic. And I was amazed that day to see the family, full of sorrow for sure. But I watched as her husband stood up and gave a great tribute to his wife. I watched as their oldest daughter, who was just sitting in front of me and to my left, was raising her hands and singing praises to God after a tragedy like that. And I heard story after story, not about accomplishments or possessions or degrees or position. I heard story after story about how she lived a life devoted to God, trying to teach others the good news of Jesus Christ. The family said, you know what? Even though this is sad, you know what we're going to do? We're going to choose joy even in the midst of pain and loss. And the only way that they could do that, and because they understood what really mattered. The only thing that matters, listen, I'm going to tell you, the only thing that matters is eternity. James put it this way. He says that our lives are but a mist or a vapor. They're here for a minute, and then they're gone. Eternity is forever. You know, I often end all of my funerals with this same phrase. So if you've been to a funeral that I've preached, or 10, you've heard this same thing. But I always say that we often think of this as the land of the living. And that when we die, we're transferred to the land of the dead. And the opposite of that is really true. This is the land of the dying. We are all dying. I don't know how, don't know when, but we're all dying. And when we die, then we're transferred into the land of the living, either to a place of eternal joy or a place of eternal torment. And God has given us every opportunity to experience that joy through Jesus Christ. Because really, listen, and I know some of you today, you're struggling. You're struggling with some marital problems, some financial problems, some addiction problems. You're struggling with all kinds of things. And listen, and in the light of eternity, Peter said this, that your light and momentary trials, they're real, but they're light and momentary compared to the glory that's going to be in eternity. You know, these girls that we saw get baptized, yes, they've been abused by men over and over again. Yes, they've been sold by their own mothers, some of them. They've been beaten, they've been raped, they've been tortured. They are going to be messed up probably for the rest of their time on this earth. But you know what? In eternity, They're going to be healed and whole and right in a place where no one will ever use them or abuse them again. Eternity is what really matters. And the church reminds us of that. And this morning, I want to remind you of that as I do every week, that we are all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God in our lives. And our sin has separated us from God. It's created distance between us. And there's no way that we could be made right on our own. We try over and over again, and we work at it, and we do our best, but we always fall short. But the good news is that salvation and forgiveness is not necessarily dependent upon us. That God looked at us and said, you know what, I need to send a Savior to them. And the Savior may not fix all of their earthly problems, may not fix every relationship, may not get them out of a financial hole, but you know what it's going to do? It's going to fix them for eternity, where they can step into my presence and be done with all of this worldly stuff. And the light momentary troubles that they're experiencing now will seem small compared to the glory they receive in eternity. And the way that you step into that this morning is by stepping forward, confessing that you are a sinner, acknowledging that, repenting. You know, on the day of Pentecost, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. But before that, he said, hey, I just want you to know this Jesus whom you crucified is both Lord and Christ. And repentance is really, it's recognizing that my own behavior, my own attitudes, my own desires, my own thoughts are wrong, because Jesus is Christ and Lord. He's my Savior and he's my Lord. And then when I repent and I recognize him as Lord and not me as Lord, then some things begin to change. And to be immersed in baptism. As Steve said in the video, in baptism we're united with Christ. His death, burial, and resurrection, and our sins are washed away forever. This morning I'm going to invite you to stand. And I'll tell you again, I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for the church. And if you're here today and you need to make a decision, I encourage you to walk forward as the band leads us. Father God, today, I am thankful for this group of people that's here. Each and every one of them. The way that the church offers hope to the world, offers a moral compass that reminds us of what really matters. Father, today I pray that if there's some here that are outside of a relationship with you, I pray that today, through Christ, they would come to know you in a more real way, a life-changing and a life-saving way. Father, today, as we think about Thanksgiving, I'm most thankful for Jesus, that he would come to die for a wretch like me, that he would pay the price for my sin, and that he would call me to do something great with my life. It's in his name that I pray. Amen.